Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. I'm Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Great. And we are happy to be back here with another program where we study God's Word. And as Steve said in that introduction, just talk about the salvation we have in Jesus the Messiah. And if you've been with us over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the covenants that God made with man, the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. And the covenant of grace, of course, begins with Jesus, the Messiah, his sacrifice, crucifixion, and death, and how that became the perfect atonement for sin. And we covered that a couple of shows ago. And then last week, you may recall, we talked about how because of this sacrifice, and because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes as a result of the sacrifice of Jesus, we actually become sons and daughters of God, and we become adopted sons and daughters. And how Jesus is the true Son, the only Son, we are adopted sons and daughters because of his sacrifice. And we talked about how St. Paul in the book of Romans and Galatians teaches that the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and we cry out, Abba, which means daddy, and a whole new relationship with God is formed through this plan of salvation that unfolded over many generations and many hundreds of years and culminates in salvation being through the work of Jesus on the cross, and how we as Gentiles then also became co-heirs to the promises that were given to Abraham, and that the kingdom of Messiah was then set up in the universe, on the earth, which we really should say in the universe, and that that kingdom is never going to end. And even going back into the Old Testament, the Tanakh, back in the book of 2 Samuel, you know, God tells Nathan the prophet that David's throne is going to be set up and it's never going to end. And Jesus, as David's descendant, physical descendant in Jesus's humanity, sits on the throne of David, and that kingdom is never going to end. And we're going to continue that a little bit tonight, but first we'll see if Steve has any comments.
Well, as you're talking, Phil, what I'm looking at is in Ephesians 3:19, it says, knowing the love of Christ, you may attain the utter fullness of God himself.
Mm. Wow.
You know, when we come to know that love of Christ and surrender to that, that call of God's love that he places upon our hearts to follow him, it's in the love of God mm-hmm. that we find our peace.
Wow.
And not in the things of the world can bring us happiness. They can mm-hmm. bring us joy, but it's God that brings us that deep mm-hmm. abiding peace that even though, there might be storms in our lives that come by, mm-hmm. That peace in God's he's our anchor,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Very good. Amen. We always talk about how, in the time that we live, and, you know, keeping in mind that we've been created for this time, and, you know, everyone who follows, you know, is part of the plan. It's Romans 8:28. And, you know, we were created to be here at this time, and we have to be in the culture that we live in and confront the culture that we live in. And we have to be salt and light. And, you know, that culture is telling us that the more stuff you have, the bigger house you get, the nicer car you have, the better retirement plan you have, the, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Country club you belong to.
Right.
That's the stuff that's really going to make you happy.
Because
then, you know, your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers are going to say, wow, you know, Steve has all that stuff. He's got to be like really happy.
Right. Right. And I think the fleeting happiness that that stuff can allure us to is that instead of being content with the riches that we have in God, mm-hmm. we then chase after the riches that the world may be offering us. And it doesn't bring that peace because mm-hmm. then you're always striving. And when, you know, you're always striving for something more.
Sure.
And if I get caught up into that, then I start striving for something more and then I kind of lose my bearing a little bit as to what's really important. Yeah.
And we don't have to tell any of our listeners that living in the time that we live now, there's more distractions and there's mm-hmm. more diversions and there's more going off on tangents than there's ever been before.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that in the book of John, where Jesus is asking, he's talking about his flesh is mm-hmm. true food and his blood is true drink, mm-hmm. and all the disciples start leaving mm-hmm. because they can't understand this. And mm-hmm. like, and he asked the disciples, you know, do you want to leave too? Mm-hmm. And Peter says, to whom would we go? Mm-hmm. You have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
And so I think as we're approaching the show with talking about God's love, I think we come to a place of asking ourselves, do I seek my own will or do I seek the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we come to that place of, where Jesus was in the garden,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. But if not,
mm-hmm.
he said, your will be done. And, I see that over and over in my own life, and I see it in the lives of people that I minister with, and especially I teach guitar, and there's youth that I minister to, and they get caught in the things of the world. They, mm-hmm. you know, just like I did when I was young.
Sure,
I was caught into the music. Mm-hmm. I liked that driving beat,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I just wanted to play rock and roll and all this other stuff, and didn't really listen to the words. What was the message? What was the message? And that's really what I talked to him about. You know, teach me this song. All right, let's see what that song says. You know, mm-hmm. and we'll read the words, and they have no idea what's in the song. What is the message that they're being, you know, that they're listening to subconsciously as they're listening to that driving beat?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to study the Word of God, because the Word of God is supreme over all words.
Right.
Because God's our creator.
Amen.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that you were saying before and what you just said, you know, kind of reminded me of when Adam and Eve fell. One of the other things that's important about that is human pride that's involved. Mm-hmm. You know, part of our distraction is that we have a certain amount of pride that wants to be satisfied and exhibited to others. So you can go to wherever and say, I just bought this house and let me tell you all the stuff I have, because that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person who hears you saying that says, wow, I wish I had all that stuff. And it's, and they're both distractions.
Yeah.
And you know, it kind of started with Satan addressing Eve and Eve saying, yeah, why doesn't he want me to eat that fruit?
That fruit looks really good.
Yeah, what's he up to? There must be some reason he doesn't want me to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing starts from there.
Yep.
Which is why we're in the bind we're in, as we talked about a few shows ago.
Exactly. And, you know, this goes with, you know, as we were talking in the last couple of shows about being an heir mm-hmm. to the kingdom. You know, Jesus tells his disciples, you know, I no longer call you servants, mm-hmm. but friends.
Right.
Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. And so the riches of God's kingdom, he wants to share with mm-hmm. us. He wants to share it with us, his wisdom, his knowledge, and all that goes with that.
Yes.
but our hearts have to be turned to God.
Amen.
You know, we have to open yourself and allow God's grace to work in your life, that you can see what God's plan is for you. And a lot of times, like I know in my own life, as I was living in the world and walking in the world and, you know, not going to church and, you know, I had friends, and then when God got a hold of my life, well, all that started to change. My friends started to change, and there was this, you know, it feels like there's this stripping away, like, Lord, what's happening? Everything's, but there's a purification that takes place.
That's right.
And God brings new people, new relationships into your life. Doesn't mean your old relationships have to end, but there's a call, there's that call to holiness, as God is holy.
Right.
And do we want to follow that? And that's a real challenge for in our culture today, because because as we've talked, everybody wants to make God into their own image, like you know,
and that's another
God's
you know,
a nice guy.
Yes, exactly. He used to be mean, but now he's nice.
Now he's very nice.
He's really gotten with the times.
He's PC. He's politically correct.
Yeah, that's right.
God is not politically correct.
He's really changed his mind on a lot of things.
Yeah, he's really gotten up to date. He's caught up to us.
And it's really, you know, when you think of it, I mean, we can chuckle about it. But when you think about people who really think that, it's really kind of pathetic that people say, well, you know, he might have meant that 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but he certainly doesn't mean that now.
Right.
And, you know, like we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, unless you know where you stand, it's very difficult to understand that you need to be rescued.
Right.
I mean, you know, most of us will understand that if we're in a burning building and we don't know where the exit is, we would be terrified. We'd be afraid. That, you know, everybody would agree with that.
Right.
But since we, you know, the danger that we're in, the state that we're in, isn't as dramatic while we're alive as the being in a burning building.
Right.
We don't even know that we need somebody to come and rescue us.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about when I was in Cancun, and this was back in 1991, and you know, I went out wading in the water, and first the water was up. I was in the Gulf of Cancun, and the water was up to my ankles, and it was up to my knees, and it was up to my waist. But I was facing the ocean. I was facing the Gulf of Cancun. I never turned back to look at the shore. And once the water took me under, and I came I called out to the Lord and he saved me. And I looked back at how far the current had dragged me out. I would have seen what danger and what peril I was, I was headed for.
Exactly.
But I never turned around to look.
Exactly.
So.
And we've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, this plan of salvation unfolding in the scriptures. And we've talked about the covenants and the thing we want to cover today is why is there a plan of salvation? Why are there these covenants? Why was there this salvation? Why do we have this different relationship now than we had before? And that has to do, all has to do with love.
Right.
That God so loves us that he made a way for us to be saved. And we've talked about when this atonement was made by Jesus, and it's the only atonement that's ever been made. The wrath of God was satisfied. The price was paid. Everything changed in our relationship. And as we said last time, you know, now we have the Spirit telling our spirit that we're adopted children, that we're co-heirs. And Paul points out that, you know, the triumph of grace, and the show's called The Gift of Grace, if you may remember that from the beginning. But, and it's a great name. I love this. The triumph of grace is sonship with God. That's the triumph of it. And, you know, it's nice that there's grace and mercy and our sins can be forgiven. And it's nice that we don't have to go to hell because this plan exists. And it's nice that we can look forward to salvation in the sense of the happy stuff.
Right.
But the triumph of grace is that we now have a sonship, a daughtership, which was a weird word, but a children ship with God the Father to the point where we can call him Daddy. And the Holy Spirit, because, of course, God is Trinity, and he does everything in Trinity.
Right.
Which we sometimes, you know, don't think about because we think of each of the persons as separate.
Yeah.
Which they are, but they're this one, and, you know, we're not going to get into that today.
Like they're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, led by the Spirit, we understand that we're sons because of what Jesus did, because of the love of the Father, and because, and a Trinitarian plan that's unfolded just, you know, encompasses us. So we have the Spirit of adoption.
Right.
So Paul says we have the Spirit of adoption and not a spirit of bondage.
Right.
So we're not afraid and we're not worried about this rule and that rule. And we're not worried about how are we going to keep all these 613 laws and how are we going to, we have a spirit of adoption.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about how we go from being a slave to sin and a slave to the law to being adopted sons and daughters and having a place at the table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's all done because of love.
Right.
It's actually a very amazing thing. And, you know, Paul says in Galatians 2 that those of us that are Gentiles, if we understand this and if we believe this and we surrender, we also become Abraham's seed, so that this whole thing of becoming adopted children extends to the whole human race.
Yeah.
In a way that the Israelites wouldn't have imagined. Because after all, this Gentile people were always kind of getting killed off, and
right,
who cares about them anyway? And, you know, once our Messiah comes, you know, we're going to have this awesome kingdom, and we're going to be, those Gentiles are really going to see something then. But, you know, here we are included because God in his sovereignty has chosen the time to do this.
Right.
And, this adoption, this becoming a child is not determined by flesh and blood. Like, you know, a child knows who his mother and his father is and who his aunts and uncles are because of flesh and blood.
Right.
We have it by God's love.
Right.
And through his sovereignty.
Whew. Amen.
Amen. We're back coming up on our first break. We'll let you listen to some Paul Wilbur music here on the Word 1220, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening and welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I'm Phil Giuliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil.
And Steve, maybe you'd like to say something about that song we just heard, and people in the audience might not know what Roni Roni even means.
Roni Roni, what does that mean? Well, Roni Roni is Hebrew. It means rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion. In that song, it talks about the Lord taking all of your punishment.
Mm-hmm.
He's destroyed all of your enemies. Mm-hmm. He's taken all of our punishment. And now we rejoice in the Lord because he's set us free.
Amen.
And that's off of the CD Shalom Jerusalem, mm-hmm. which was Paul's first recording,
right.
Paul Wilbur's first recording in Jerusalem.
Right.
And that's available at their website at wilburministries.com. Yeah.
Just go on that site and whatever CD you buy, you'll like it.
tell Paul you got it. You got it from us. So
yeah,
you
won't
get an extra
office
discount.
And say.
He'll be happy to sell it to you.
Yeah, call the office and say that you heard Steve and Phil in Cleveland, and they'll all start laughing. But yeah, that's an awesome song, and that is from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, and it's really an amazing prophecy because, it's of course in the Old Testament, and Zephaniah writes that the Lord your God has taken your punishment. And that's kind of what we've been talking about here. And through God's love, he's taken our punishment through Jesus the Messiah. And for the rest of this program, which really goes fast, we are going to be using some scriptures from John. Everyone knows, of course, that John wrote the Gospel of John. And he also wrote three pretty awesome epistles, three awesome letters. Yes. And of course the Revelation, but we're not going to go into Revelation, but we're going to do a couple of readings from John's Gospel and then some things about God's love that are in 1 John, the first letter of John. And I think we'll have Steve just go ahead and read it.
Okay. Well, what I was thinking or what I was getting before when we were talking before the break was in the third chapter of John. And I think this is probably one of the most recognized
yes.
verses in the Bible, probably around the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. But if we read the following verse,
mm-hmm.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
Yes.
You know, so there's the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come with condemnation.
Right.
He came in love.
Amen.
And if we take the gospel message, you know, in love, if we're going to be a disciple of the Lord, we've got to walk in love.
Yes.
So we've got to minister in love. And sometimes that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Because I think we can all attest to that.
You got to put up with people.
Yeah. And they talk back to you sometimes.
Yeah. And some of them look
and
at
they
you.
Don't agree with you sometimes.
Right? And some of them look at you and say, you're nuts.
Yeah.
And you have to just smile and say, yes, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that phrase there, that little passage is probably one of the most recognized, I think, because you always see it everywhere.
Yes.
Football games, basketball games, baseball games.
Yeah.
A lot of sporting events. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Somebody has a sign 3:16.
Right. And the reason it's so well known and so important is that it's so profound
mm-hmm.
that it's really hard, no matter how many times you think about it, and you know it so well, and you see it all the time, and you say, oh, there's another John 3:16 thing.
Yeah.
But the message of it is so powerful because it is so against what you would think
mm-hmm.
was going to be the plan.
Right.
I mean, this plan, I mean, the love of God is so profound and so deep that this was the plan of salvation.
Right.
It's really quite amazing that so much can be contained in those two verses that really are the kernel of Christianity, which is why the gospel is good news. You know, gospel is an old English word that means good news, and that is really good news because what we deserve is condemnation. If we stood on our own performance, we deserve condemnation.
Yeah,
and if you think about just what you've done today since you've gotten up, I think most of you would agree that what you deserve is condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get condemnation because of those two verses.
Right. If you believe in them, you get a seat at the table.
That's right.
At the banquet feast.
That's right. Yeah. And you become an adopted child. And there's another amazingly awesome verse from John that I want to save till a little bit later in the show. But John is, you know, John, the Gospel of John, you know, is commonly called the Book of Signs and Wonders, but it's really a book about love, and it's really a book about salvation.
Right.
And so are his letters.
Yeah.
Now, the Revelation is a little different, but the letters, you know, the letters really emphasize this amazing love that God has for humans. You know, after all, in the Book of Hebrews, it says the angels marvel at our redemption. They just can't even believe it. And in the first letter of John, in chapter 3, I don't know if you could get to that, Steve, but in verses 1 through 8, it kind of ties together what we've been talking about in terms of becoming adopted children, tied together with God's love, which formed this whole plan of salvation. And it just really kind of brings these two things together. Do you have it there?
John 3.
First John.
Oh, First John.
Yeah, sorry.
I was
chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It's good to hear Bible pages flipping, too.
First John 3, 1 through 8.
Yes. Why don't you just go ahead and read
that? I was in the Gospel, so. Okay. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do not know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure.
Hmm. Wow. So this really brings us together. So it's, behold what manner of love the Father has that we should be called children.
Right.
You know, one of the great things about human love is the love that parents have for their children. This love that he's talking about here doesn't even match up with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God loves our children way more than we can love them, in a totally different way, in a more intense way. And John writes that the love of the Father that's bestowed on us is that we're called children of God. And it's all because of Jesus. And because we have this hope in him, because we have this belief in him, because he's been revealed to us, we become sons and daughters. We become, he uses the word pure in many translations, through him. And by this, we become sons and daughters of the Father.
Right.
And in order to really grasp that, you have to keep in mind what our situation really is. Do we go through this radical change from being rebellious humans that stand condemned to now being adopted as children of the Father based on what Jesus has done and what the Holy Spirit has told you?
Right.
And it's John has such a firsthand experience with this. You know, he was the youngest one, you know, at the Last Supper, the Seder meal, he got to ask the four questions. You know, he got to kind of lean on Jesus and say, wow, this is really cool. This is really nice. I like this. You know, calls himself the apostle Jesus loved. You know, he really has this firsthand experience with this. And in that same letter, First John in chapter 1, in fact, the very beginning of that, he writes, that which was from the beginning, okay, from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. In other words, that whole word of God, the ever-existent second person of the Trinity, the eternal Logos, we were with him. We talked with him. We heard what he had to say. We touched him. We hung out with him.
Yeah.
You know, we sat around and ate and drank coffee and talked about stuff. He had this amazing experience with the very person that was going to transform everything in the human race that we've been talking about during these last few shows.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you read a little bit farther down from there, a couple of verses later, he says, "We have seen it, what we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
So we want to tell you about this because we experienced it. We understand through the power of the Holy Spirit what this was all about. We want you to understand it too. And so we want you to have fellowship with the Father and the Son.
Right. And you know, as you're reading this from 1 John 1 through 3, you know, he's saying, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim now to you, so mm-hmm. that you too may have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." It goes back to the prayer of Jesus in John 17,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus is praying and he's praying and he says, "They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrated myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they will all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me."
Mm.
You know, so that prayer of Jesus is being fulfilled here in the first chapter of 1 John,
mm-hmm.
but it keeps on being fulfilled as we proclaim the word of God down through the ages,
mm.
from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Jesus is interceding for all those who will come to believe.
Yes.
From their preaching,
yes.
from them sharing the word.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, when you look at the disciples, the apostles, there was such zeal placed in them, you know, supernaturally by the Spirit of God at Pentecost, that they went out and they proclaimed fervently.
Yes.
Without tiring the word of God, the love of God,
mm-hmm.
and what was done for everyone, each and every one of,
yes.
you know, each and every person that they brought this word to, the message of salvation was brought to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we probably marvel at Paul because he gets beaten and stoned and he gets back up, but he just goes back into the town and says,
yeah,
okay,
let's go.
Gotta go back into the synagogue and I gotta proclaim the word. I mean, you know, it's just amazing as I read the word of God and I study the word and I see this over and over. It just becomes, I just see it as so much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have so much more of a profound impact on me that their love was so strong that not even death or the possibility of death deterred them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because they saw Christ himself,
yes.
face death, and
yeah.
it did not stop him.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
And I think what I just read a minute ago from John really sums that up too, because he says, "We knew Jesus personally, and we hung out with him and we heard him and we touched him and we saw him and we saw all the stuff he did. And then we saw the sacrifice. Then we were filled with the Spirit, Pentecost morning. Mm-hmm. Then we really understood what all this was. And we want all of you to understand this too.
Yeah.
And this goes down through the last 2,000 years to our time. Like I say, we were created for this time. So we have the responsibility of telling other people, we want you to know this too.
Right.
And we haven't, you know, we haven't been with Jesus like John was, where we can say, we know we heard him and we saw him and we hung out and we did. But we have, in a spiritual sense, been given that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want right. everyone to know what we know.
Right.
And to know this fellowship and this redemption and this love that just wants to include everybody into the kingdom of Messiah.
Right. Right. Yeah. When you, I mean, when you experience that love of God, you want to run out and you want to start telling people about it. Because it's so strong, it's so powerful. And as you were talking, I'm not recalling where it's at in Scripture, but that God proves His love for us, that while we were still sinners,
mm-hmm.
He laid down His life for us.
Yes.
That, you know, somebody might find the courage to die for
yes.
a just man,
yeah.
but...
That's also in the book of Romans.
That's in the Romans. Okay, so, and, you know, but God proves His love for us yes. that while we were transgressing against Him in sin,
exactly,
Jesus still laid down His life.
That's
he didn't,
right.
He didn't wait for us to be perfect and holy.
That's right. While we were still sinners, He died.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, part of what's commonly called the Roman road. You know, we're all sinners. We all fall short. The wages of sin is death. But while we were still sinners, He died for us.
Right.
I mean, the plan of salvation through this immense, unmeasurable love unfolded in that way,
mm-hmm.
so that we don't have to go someplace for 28 years and meditate, and we don't have to go sit in the corner until we're better. We can just come,
mm-hmm.
because the plan is there, the price has been paid, the Spirit's told us we can be sons and daughters, and just like John, we have to say to others, let me tell you about this, because we want you to have this fellowship too that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be much better than being at the country club or having the Lexus or the whatever it is. I hear Paul Wilbur again.
Is he on the show?
No. We're going to let you listen to another song, and we will be right back in a minute or so in the Gift of Grace and the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. And speaking of The Gift of Grace, we want to make just kind of a preliminary announcement that soon, very soon, reminds me of a song, soon, we're going to see the cake. Well, that too, but we're going to be unveiling a new ministry that Stephen and I and some others, including our lovely wives, will be involved in called the Gift of Grace Ministries, interestingly enough. And pretty soon we'll be able to tell you about a website and give you some contact information and tell you about some of the things that we'd like to do and see where the Lord leads it to go and what he wants to happen with it. And
amen. let it unfold.
It's a little too preliminary to tell you much about it now. If you, I won't give you the web address yet, because if you go there, you won't see much. But soon.
See the orange construction.
Yeah, maybe the next show. But we have, I think, about 10 minutes left. So the time always goes fast, and there's always a lot of material. And then maybe we can talk Steve into singing a song or doing something before we leave.
On the spot.
And I, again, have to emphasize it's much better if Steve sings it than if I sing it. Much better. Many times better. But the a couple more things I just want to cover from John's letter, and it's all coming from 1 John. In John, 1 John chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10, John writes, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." See, this is the gospel, that we might live through him. "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now that's, you know, an interesting, we don't usually use words like propitiation that often in our day-to-day talk.
No, not often.
But he becomes the sacrifice. He becomes the substitute. He becomes the innocent victim that was so dramatically prefigured in the sacrifices in the Torah, in the sacrifices that the people had to do in order to become acceptable and to have sin atoned for. And John says, the love of God is manifested in that he sent his only Son into the world, as Steve read before, that we might live through him. So because of him, we can have life and not have the condemnation. And in verses 12 and 13 of 1 John 4, he writes, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God."
Amen.
Wow. So John just like really puts this together in this whole love thing. The whole love of God is manifested in the fact that he sent his Son so that we can live through him. And then through the Spirit, we have this fellowship with him, and it becomes this triumph of grace.
Yeah.
It's really just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
There's no human words that can explain it. And it's interesting that the phrase there is, you know, it's not that we loved him. You know, it's like
he loved us.
He loved us. Because if we're left to our own devices, we don't even want to deal with that. We just want to go about and do our own thing. And, you know, even Jesus said in the book of Mark that, you know, people just do out of their heart comes all this terrible stuff. You know, we don't sit around and, you know, seek after God and want to do the things God wants us to do because we want to do our own thing.
Right.
So it's not that we loved him, it's that he loved us first. And the verse I want to kind of end with this, and then maybe we can talk about it in a second and have Steve sing a song, is in the Gospel of John, and we're throwing around a lot of Johns, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." You know, that's another one of those verses that we hear a lot. You hear it in churches, you hear people say it, you see it written on cards, and mm-hmm. you kind of get used to it. And if you say that verse, everybody says, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that verse."
Right.
But when you think about what that is saying, it really measures the depth of this love, because he says, "As the Father has loved me." Now, we have no possible way in our little brains to understand what that means.
The depth of God's love.
Yes. Because it has to do with the relationships within the Godhead, between the members of the Trinity, mm-hmm. which we can't conceive of.
Right.
But Jesus says, just like that, I've loved you guys. And by extension, us guys.
Right.
And girls. It, just like the Father's loved me, that's how I love you.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder that the plan of salvation unfolded. It's no wonder that this sacrifice took place. It's no wonder that the Spirit was sent. And it's no wonder that that's the measure of how we know about God's love, is that he sent his only Son so that we can be adopted sons and daughters and co-heirs to his glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, it's the love of God outpoured.
And, you know, exactly.
As you're talking about that in those last few passages, there's a song by Chris Tomlin called Jesus Messiah that I think really captures this whole image of God's love.
He became sin, sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Wow. That just ties together everything we've talked about for the last few weeks, three or four weeks.
Yeah.
It's a ransom. It's the plan. It's,
you know, love so amazing. You know, that as Paul says, or is it Peter, you know, the love of God, when we experience the love of God, it's higher, it's wider, it's deeper than anything we can ever experience. Mm-hmm. And we really can't understand it. But if we experience it and feel it, and open ourselves up to God's love, he pours out his love into us.
Mm.
And then there's an awesome transformation that takes place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're coming to an end of another program, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want all of you to understand this, and if you're listening to this program, I'm sure that you are, but some of you who may not be or may have just kind of tuned in as you were driving around, please tune in again next week at 7 p.m. and we'll be back again with another teaching from God's Word and try to develop this theme a little bit more and have you understand this profound, immense love that God has for us, that this plan of salvation was unfolded and that the Messiah suffered and died.
Amen.
So good night. Have an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow, and we'll be with you next week.
Have a good night, everyone.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless.